Hebrews chapter 12 in our series on when you can't just get over it. We are looking today at lesson number six, and we're going to Hebrews chapter number 12, and I'll read verses 15 to 17. Hebrews 12, 15 to 17. I'll read those in just a moment, give you a chance to find that and have your book or something to write with. This is the Lord's Day, and I'm thankful for it, Sunday, and I'm thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, and that his tomb is still empty. And it's the Lord's Day. We have, in the past, in fact, just recently, we came across one of our old gospel tracts, and it was the one that had the orange on the front of it. And we looked at the back, and the schedule that we were keeping at that time was 8:45 early service, 10 a.m. Sunday school, 11 a.m. morning service, 6 p.m. evening service. That was our Sunday schedule at that time. Some of you remember those days. Hopefully you didn't just ruin your day by remembering that. Those of you that would come at 7:45 to help set up. And those were great times. But anyway, it's still great times. But that was the schedule. And so today, I'm excited to tell you that we have an opportunity to be involved in what the sports world calls a triple header. Have you ever seen somebody with three heads? Okay, don't answer that. If you have, I don't want to know about it. Maybe it was in a dream or something. But today we have a triple header. We have our meeting that we're in right now that we get the privilege to be a part of. Praise the Lord for that. And then at 3 p.m., please don't miss today's 3 p.m. premier service. I'll just say this, that it is a sermon from the past. It's a sermon from the past, and I'm not the preacher, which means the views are going to go up exponentially, I'm sure. And so it is something that is right now what we are emphasizing, and you will be helped. So please, 3 p.m. today, the premier service, and we're praying for that. And then at 6 o'clock tonight, mark it down, at 6 o'clock tonight, we have the opportunity to be involved in the Canadian Revival Conference. And I want all of us to be involved in that. And we get to hear two different preachers tonight. I think they have two preachers tonight. And that'll be at 6 p.m. And we'll make sure that you know how to get there. It's on the website for the church. It's also on their Facebook page. But I'll share that information via the Google group and any other formats. But try to be in every one of these and soak it all in. Soak it all in. And then the idea is not to soak it in, but then to give it out this week. Surely there's something God's going to give you this week for somebody else that you know this week. And that's the idea of this whole thing, is there's teaching that needs to be done by all of us throughout the week. So, enough of that. Lesson 6, Banishing Bitterness. What a title. Banishing bitterness. Hebrews 12, 15, I'm sure you found it by now. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness. I'm sure you've heard this verse before, or maybe it's the first time, I don't know. But root of bitterness springing up, trouble you. You might want to underline those words or circle them, because there's nothing about bitterness except trouble. Bitterness is going to lead to trouble. Put it down right now in your heart. Think about it. If you're dealing with it right now, then you're in trouble. I mean that sincerely. You're in trouble. It is one of the most dangerous things to hold on to in all the world. I would say sometimes it's more dangerous than a poisonous snake. And I hate snakes. I hate all kinds of snakes. I hate even garter snakes, which supposedly can't hurt you in any fashion. Doesn't matter. I don't like them. But if you're holding on to bitterness, it's going to have the same effect on you spiritually, emotionally, as hanging on to a bunch of vipers. It's trouble. That's what the Bible says. Not me, the Bible. It's trouble. and thereby many be defiled. That's the next thing it's going to do. You're in trouble and you're being defiled. And you may not even, you know what? Here's the thing. Bitterness sometimes, I believe, and I don't know, we'll see how far we get into this today, but bitterness is something that is defiling when we don't even know it. Well, I just kind of dealt with that 20 years ago. I've moved on from it. But did you really deal with it? If not, you're being defiled every day. It's affecting every one of your relationships that you're involved in right now. And so, verse 16, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of bread sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your patience in all of our lives. And I pray for anyone today, myself included, maybe there's something in my life that I have forgotten about, that I'm holding on to, that is troubling me, or I'm being defiled over this bitterness thing, this root. And I pray today that we would allow the word of God to be the spade, the shovel, not just cut off the plant that's been growing, but to dig deep. It might hurt. It would be far better to get rid of that root and move on in Jesus' name. Amen. The root of a tree is what's growing right now, by the way, in the springtime. We may not know it. The root of a plant, we know that we plant those seeds in our gardens and we don't see anything happening, but everybody here knows that there is something happening, but it is all happening beneath the ground. We would say beneath the surface. But specifically, the ground is now, of course, our ground here in Vancouver, it never freezes, but where I'm from, originally, the ground would literally freeze during the wintertime because it stayed cold for such a long period of time, and maybe some of you are from an area of the world like that. And so finally, when March, April would roll around, the ground would begin to thaw, and what was happening underneath was exciting. Those roots were beginning to sprout, and they were beginning to grow, and they were beginning to look for nutrients, take in nutrients for the tree, because it's time to wake up, and eventually there would be leaves and so forth and so on. But those roots are very important. But again, roots typically, not all of them, but roots typically are under the surface and very difficult to see. Now, we know some of them do end up popping out of the ground. You've probably stubbed your toe on a root here and there, tripped over one occasionally, but for the most part, they are underground. So let's jump into this thought of comparing a root to bitterness. Number one is simply that, the root of bitterness. If you have your book or if you're writing notes, and we have the notes for you there coming up, the root of bitterness, the root of bitterness. God specifically has made this comparison because the characteristics of roots will give us a greater understanding of the danger, and I've kind of alluded to that already, the danger that bitterness poses to each and every one of us. And again, bitterness is something that normally is not visible right away, but it will become visible later on, and so we need to deal with it. You know, to say deal with it is easier said than done. Because a lot of times people, and I've counseled with several people over the years, that really, in the end, they did not want to deal with it. Because sometimes dealing with it, whatever it is, by the way, and everybody has an it, dealing with it is painful. And again, in whatever way you've been pained, it is not to say that there was anything good because of that, or it was right that you were offended, defiled, whatever the word is that you want to put in there, abused. You know, to allow something to grow in your heart out of that is dangerous. Again, as we said, it's trouble. So many times when we know there's an it there, we just leave it alone because we don't want to deal with it. Because it's painful. And we don't want to face it. Well, If we want peace like God wants us to have, and if we want victory like God wants us to have, I want to challenge you that we're going to have to be willing to dig deep. We're going to have to be willing to allow God's Spirit to dig deep within our hearts to get to the all the way down to the bottom of where the root is and help us by His great grace to get rid of it. Now, not everything in the Bible talking about roots is always on the negative. There are several verses of Scripture that talk to us in a positive way. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 3, God's Word says, "A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved." You know that song that we sing in our hymn book? Jesus is my Savior, I shall not be moved, you know? And so, I shall not be moved. And so, that's a positive light, that our roots are deep into the Word of God, and the storms of life come, and we're saved and on our way to heaven, and we're not moved in that way. And that's, again, that's a positive, in a positive light. Proverbs chapter 12, and verse number 12, further down, says, "The wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit." Again, we could say that the deeper we let our roots grow in the things of God, the greater our fruit will be for His glory. But also we find other passages of Scripture that take approach to the idea that the negative side of the idea of roots. We see that in 1 Timothy 6:10. Remember what it talks about there? It says that there is a root of all evil. You remember what the root of all evil is from 1 Timothy 6:10? Right, the love of money, the love of money. This isn't talking about bitterness per se. It's just giving us a comparison in the sense of roots. But the love of money is the root of all evil. Matthew 3:10. "And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." Why is that? Because the root wasn't in the right place. They weren't rooted in the things of the Lord, and they did not bear fruit. And so, roots. What kind of roots do you have in your life? The longer this root of bitterness is allowed to grow, the greater trouble that it's going to bring, the greater sorrow that it's going to bring. And everybody knows this in the sense of the gardening analogy, right? And we know that if we just pick that weed up, and it breaks off at the surface, and the root doesn't come out of it. You know, when you pull a dandelion out of your yard, maybe you've done that already this year, or maybe you've got a fresh crop. I've got right where our driveway meets the yard. I noticed it yesterday. I noticed it again this morning. I knew I was going to give this illustration, so it was perfect timing. Thank you, dandelions, for growing. And that reminder, I got a fresh crop of dandelions coming. So, Brother Ramon, if you'd like to make some dandelion tea, I've got a fresh patch for you. Come on over and get those. If you don't know what I'm talking about right now, ask Brother Ramon. The men's camp out from a few years ago. We got a great video of him on that. But anyway, keep moving on. But if you don't pull that dandelion weed out by the root, it's amazing how flourishing those dandelions are. I took some in the backyard out last week, and I couldn't get down low enough. And I didn't go get a whatever. I don't have anything fancy for that. I know they have those prong things now that you can go down and pick them. I don't have one of those. I guess I got a screwdriver, you know. It's me and tools. You can use them for about 90 things, right? Not the thing you're supposed to use them for. But anyway, rabbit trail here. But I didn't do it. You know what? A couple days later, guess what? The dandelion was back up. Didn't take long. There it was. Why? Because I didn't pull it up by the root. So be the root of bitterness. When we don't deal with it in a proper way, that it will spring back into our life at the least expected time. Why am I feeling this way? Why am I doing this? Because there's a root. There's a root that's got to be taken out. We've got to banish bitterness. Okay, let's keep moving. Letter A, bitterness troubles us. Bitterness troubles us. Here's a great thought not original with me. Harboring bitterness is almost like hitting ourselves to get even with someone else for punching us. Meditate on that for a little bit. Bitterness is like hitting yourself because someone else hit you. And that is so true. You know, my dad did this to me. My mom treated me this way, or my husband or my wife or my this or my that. They did this to me, and so I'm still mad about it. You know what you're doing? You're hitting yourself again with the same thing they did. And really, quite frankly, you're doing it twice. I'm doing it twice. The person that caused the hurt in your life and in my life, you and I are not responsible for changing them. That's not my job. But what am I responsible? I am responsible for my response. And that's where bitterness comes in. Not because of them. And really, bitterness is not because of the one who offended me or whatever toward me. No, bitterness is all on me. It's a selfish problem. It's a pride problem that I'm not handling. Again, it is not to say, please don't get me wrong, it is not to say that the punch that they gave you was it was good for something. It's not. It wasn't good. It wasn't right. That's not what we're talking about. When someone wrongs us, when someone violates us, we have got to make sure that bitterness is not allowed to begin growing. No, when someone wrongs us, here are two responses. That I don't think they're in your notes, but maybe you want to write them down. Number one, here are the biblical responses to take when someone wrongs you. Number one, you can choose to forbear. You can choose to forbear. What does that mean? It literally means take no action. It's just like water off a duck's back. You forgive them. It's, you know, just whatever. Move on. We find that in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. In other words, you choose not to be offended. That's what it means. And that is a choice. You can take that one. I would encourage it. Second, we can deal with an offense biblically. Now, this is more in relation to a brother or sister in Christ. Matthew chapter 18, verses 5 and 6. And I won't take the time to teach on that right now because of time. But that's not necessarily referencing all offense that comes into our life, but it's referring to the body of Christ. If a brother trespass against thee and so forth, you go to him, and if he doesn't hear you, you take somebody with you and go to him, and if he doesn't hear the two of you, then you take it to the church, and that is a biblical way to deal with it. But letter A, bitterness troubles us. Let me encourage you what not to do. Stop reviewing it over and over and over in your mind. Don't constantly replay it. Letter A, bitterness troubles us. Letter B, bitterness taints others. It taints others. It defiles innocent bystanders. We read earlier from our text about a man by the name of, did you remember verse 16? Esau. Hebrews 12, 16, Esau. And we read his story in the book of Genesis. And in his story, we see, and I think we talked about this recently, that his mother, Rebekah, allowed bitterness into her life, and because God had promised her something and it wasn't happening fast enough, anybody ever been there where God promises us something and it doesn't happen fast enough, that Rebekah got upset about it. And so because of that, she got bitter over it, and that bitterness would infect Esau. When God didn't fulfill the promise when she thought he should, bitterness came in. And actually, Rebekah's bitterness would impact both of her sons. You remember how there was a manipulation there that took place? And that's really not the message today, but, you know, I can just tell you this right now. Manipulating the will of God is not going to end well. We don't want to try to manipulate God's will. We want to seek God's will. We want to wait God's will. We want to wait for God's will. We want to be still and know that he is God. This person has got to be the one for me to marry. Okay, wait and make sure. Don't manipulate. Don't try to put your spin on the will of God. Why? Because eventually the bitterness is going to come in if it doesn't work out the way I want it. And again, you hear that? It didn't work out the way Rebecca wanted it to work out. And so, but did it really matter? No, it mattered what God was doing. And God's timing is always best. But again, the point of letter B is that it taints others. It taints others. And don't think that bitterness is just going to be within your life. It's going to affect everyone around you. So the root of bitterness. Let's look, number two, at the results of bitterness. The results of bitterness. And for this, we're going to take our Bibles now, and we're going to turn back to the Old Testament book of Ruth. The book of Ruth. Ruth chapter number one. Ruth chapter number one. I have lost Ruth. Have you lost Ruth? There it is. Ruth chapter one. And just have your Bible open there. This is a very short book in the Bible, but we're going to see from the life of Naomi is the one we're going to zero in on at this time. And she lived through some amazing events. I don't know if we could relate to them. Possibly we could relate to a couple of them. She lived through a famine. She lived through a time of famine. I've never been through a time of famine. She left her home. She moved. She moved from one place to the next. And a little more than just, you know, moving from Coquitlam to Burnaby, maybe, okay? Not quite like that, but so maybe we could all say we've moved, but maybe not quite like the move that Ruth would make or Naomi would make. And then her husband and two sons died. I don't know how many of you can relate to that. Maybe not very many. But so this is something that is on Naomi's resume, her resume of life. This is stuff that she had to go through. But it wasn't necessarily those things that are on her resume, it was how did she respond to them? And I think we can learn from that. So look at chapter 1, please, and verse number 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. So this is This is Naomi's wife, her husband, and his name is mentioned for us in verse 2, Elimelech. Okay? And so they leave because of a famine. Okay? And now, I don't know how much Naomi was involved in that decision. We really don't know. But this is not necessarily God's will. Just because there's a famine. Because what do you mean, Pastor? Well, they left Israel and moved. Now, again, God is sovereign and he's in control, but we're breaking down these decisions that were made. And so they left Israel and moved to Moab, which is a godless country. It's a godless people. It's full of idols. It's full of heathen practices. And so things got a little bit rough over here in Bethlehem, Judah, house of bread, by the way. It got a little bit rough over here, and so when the going gets rough, the rough get going, right? Isn't that how it works or something like that? That's not how it goes. And so because of that, we're going to go ahead and move over here, and we're going to go ahead and be around the idol worshipers and the pagans, and again, a different time in which we are lived today. But I believe sincerely they left the place God wanted them to be. That was their reaction to the famine. Now look at chapter 1 and verse 19. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, "Is this Naomi?" Now we're going to go back and backtrack a bit. But so now what's happening is Naomi and one of her daughter-in-laws, Ruth, are coming back to Bethlehem. Verse 20, and she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. Notice this, I went out full. I thought there was a famine. The Bible says here she went out full. She recognized that she had everything she needed and should not have left. That's what I gather from that. And the Lord hath brought me home again, what? Empty. I thought I would. We thought we were going to go over there to Moab and we were going to find everything that we desired, but actually we were fuller in Bethlehem, Judah, in the smack dab in the middle of a famine. And by the way, you and I will always be fuller in the will of God, no matter what's happening around us, than we if we hightail it away from the will of God because we see greener pastures somewhere yonder. Stop looking at yonder and be thankful for what you have right now in the middle of the will of God. If you're in the will of God, stay there and be there. It doesn't mean that it's going to be free of famine, but it means that God is there. It means that peace is there, and you can't get any fuller anywhere else. So she says, but now I'm empty. Why then call ye me Naomi? Seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me. Naomi means pleasant, Mara means bitter. Now we're going to see three ways or several ways that bitterness affected Naomi. How did it affect her? Number one, letter A, here we go again with my numbers and letters. Just go along with me, you know what I'm talking about. Dissatisfaction. Dissatisfaction. Again, I've kind of alluded to this already. Thought it would be easier, thought it would be better, but whoa, what happens? They get over there and the wheels fall off the chariot right away. And it's a lot more serious than that. Look at verse 3 of chapter 1. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left with her two sons. Verse 4 tells us that they got married. Orpah and Ruth were the daughter-in-laws. Oh, but what about verse 5? Mahlon and Chilion died. Wow. Here we have Naomi and Elimelech and Mahlon and Chilion, and they're just taking their journey over to Moab. And I mean, it's going to be better in Moab. Things are going to get better over here. I mean, the famine is behind us, we're marching ahead here, and Elimelech and Mahlon and Chilion, they're dead. Naomi is left with Ruth and Orpah. Was God chastening Naomi? I don't know. Possibly. I will say this: it did work in the sense of it brought her back. It took her back to where she was supposed to be. And I want to encourage us today. To be satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's given us. You know, we live in a very, very, very materialistic society, don't we? We need the next job, and nothing wrong if you're getting a new job. This wasn't aimed at you. We need the next house. We need the next car. We need this. We need that. We need this. We need that. We're discontented sometimes. Discontented heart will have struggles and problems no matter wherever it goes. Because if you're discontented, it doesn't matter what kind of car you get, it won't be good enough either. It doesn't matter what kind of job you have, it won't be good enough either. Allowing bitterness in our heart toward our spouse over a period of time. We just finished up those 5 lessons on building a strong marriage. I hope you've been able to take all of that in. If you haven't, please take time to do that. Dissatisfaction, bitterness in a marriage over time will even lead to that, to be unsatisfied with the person that God... By the way, whoever you're married to right now is the will of God for your life. Just mark it down right now. That's not a negative way. I'm not trying to be cute about it. I'm really serious about it. whoever you're married to is God's will for the rest of your life until death do you part. That's the Bible principle, okay? And so just that's a side note. All right, letter A, dissatisfaction, results of bitterness. Letter B, selfishness. Selfishness. Orpah and Ruth go to their mother-in-law and say, we want to go back with you. We want to go back with you. They're willing to go to a place where the true God, think about this. They're willing to go to a place where the true God was worshipped. Now, was God in Moab? Yes, God's everywhere. But God wasn't really worshipped in Moab much at all, if any. So here they come to her, and they've just lost their husband. You know? One they married to. So they're grieving, and it's a difficult time for them. And so they come to their mother-in-law, and they want to go back with her. Verse 8. And Naomi said unto her daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. Don't come with me. Don't come with me. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of your husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. Naomi was so focused on the difficult things that have happened in her life and to her that she is going to leave behind her daughter-in-laws in a pagan society when they could come with her to Jerusalem to be surrounded with the truth. And we know that Ruth was determined to go and be with her, and she did accompany her. So there's dissatisfaction. There's selfishness that comes. Then let her see. With bitterness, there are accusations that come. We read about the accusations just a moment ago in Ruth chapter 1 and verse, let's see. The Almighty hath dealt with Moab. At the end of chapter 1, let's see here, verse 19 to 21. Verse 19 to 21 and verse 20, pardon me. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. There's the accusation. This is God's fault. God was unjust. God was in control of this. He was in control of it, but there was accusations here. It wasn't that they made a bad decision and went out of the will of God. It wasn't that they left Jerusalem, the place of God's will for their life, and went to Moab. You know, again, when we leave the will of God, when we leave where God wants us to, much like the prodigal son did, right? And we get out of the will of God for our life, it isn't the will. It isn't God's fault that we're in the mess that we're in. It's actually a blessing that God allowed a mess into our life. What do you mean? To bring us back to himself. The chastening hand of the Lord is always a good thing. And by the way, only Christians can be chastened by the Lord. So the chastening hand of the Lord is a blessing. Getting her back to Jerusalem was the best thing that could happen. It took quite a bit to get her back there, though, didn't it? Even though all of that, God is involved and God is working and he's sovereign. And if you know the story, you know that to be the case, even in a greater way, that God was working in this, bringing Ruth into her life. Letter D. Letter D is misperception. Misperception. The bitterness in her heart spread to the point that she didn't enjoy anything. Have you been there? Maybe you're there this morning. Maybe you're there right now. Verse 21, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. She left because of a famine. We already pointed that out a minute ago, not because she was full. Ruth was standing next to her. Was she empty? No. She had a daughter-in-law. She had someone. She wasn't alone. God had still, even in their, even in her bitterness, even in her woe is me, even in her attitude and the spirit in which she was living at that point, and focused on her loss and focused on everything that had gone wrong, here's a blessing that God had put into her life. But again, bitterness is all-consuming, isn't it? It consumes our vision. It consumes everything to the point that no matter what's going on, Anchor Baptist Church could be given a $2 million building tomorrow. And if you're bitter, it'll just be a blip on your screen. That's a little bit of an exaggeration, maybe. I would love the $2 million building, Lord, if that's in your will. But what I'm saying is all the goodness and grace of God in our life that we experience in just 1 week's time, we're missing it if there's a root of bitterness that needs to come up. Number three, what is the remedy? What is the remedy? The victory over bitterness will not be instantaneous unless we deal with it. And by the way, the sooner we deal with it, the better. Okay? The sooner we deal with it, the better. Letter A. Just like anything in our life that needs to be dealt with, it's always going to start with repent. Repent. If we want to overcome bitterness as Naomi overcame bitterness, this is where it begins. Changing our mind. That's what repentance is. In a way, by going and leaving Moab and heading back to Bethlehem, Judah, that was the beginning of it for her. Turning around, going back, admitting, I am supposed to be in Bethlehem. Not supposed to be in Moab. By the way, there are a lot of analogies that could be made there and illustrations that we could make there. I'll just say this. The Christian is supposed to be close to the Lord. The Christian is supposed to be close to His Word. The believer is supposed to be close to His way and His will and all that He has for us. We should be close. Don't make a mistake, the mistake of a Lot. L-O-T, not A-L-O-T. Of Lot. Who's a Lot? I've never heard of him. Is he a new Bible? I just thought of that when I'm saying it. Amazing what you think of right as the words are coming out, that it could be confusing. Don't make the mistake that Lot made. There's a better way of saying it. Yeah, let's go over here to Sodom and pitch our tent, and let's even turn it right towards Sodom so we can keep an eye on things. How'd that do for him? Not very well. And Abraham said to him, take everything, anything you want. See? Just like this, it was a blessing the day, even though she wasn't completely over it or healed of her bitterness, it was a blessing the day that Naomi woke up and said, I've got to go home. I've got to go home. Repentance. As the prodigal son that we referred to earlier, Luke 15:17, and when he came to himself, he woke up, not literally. He woke up and said, oh, man, this stinks. This really stinks. This pig pen stinks. My father's servants, they've got all kinds of the best threads available. I'm going home. Repentance, right? And so that's what we find here. First step of defeating bitterness and deciding that you're going to overcome it is to say, I'm wrong. I need to get back where God wants me to be. Repentance. Letter B, trust God. Trust God. This is where it could get difficult. What was done to you has nothing to do with your choices. In other words, Naomi made the choices. In your case, you say, Pastor Turner, I didn't make the choices. My dad made the choices. My husband made the choices. My parents, my this, my that. Someone made the choices that brought pain into your life. Letter B, you've got to trust God. again, I don't say that flippantly. Oh, just trust God, you'll get over it. No. As hard as it is sometimes to believe Romans 8:28, it is true, isn't it? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. The choice is very difficult when you're in the middle of bitterness. Because when you're in the middle of bitterness, it distorts your way of thinking. It distorts your vision. Remember we talked about that? This is why you have to almost step away from it and say, I don't trust me, I don't trust this person, but I trust God. And I know God can help me to have victory over this thing. Well, how do we trust God? We open this book right here, and we see that it's filled with promises for you and for me. You know what we do? We trust the promises of God's Word. Some of them are conditional. You do your part, right? Ye shall ask anything in my name, God says, I will do it. 2 Chronicles 7:14, we need revival. There it is. There's a promise. We can follow that. Trust God. Let her see. Forgive. Forgive. Ephesians 4:31 and 32. Would you turn over there, please, in your Bible? We're coming down to the end. Ephesians 4. Thank you for listening. And I would just go out on a limb here, and I don't think it's a pretty solid limb, that bitterness is something that is not to be played with, yes, but it's also, I think it's more prevalent in our lives than we realize. And it could be a very small root today, or it could be like some of those roots of those trees that are 200 years old that we saw a picture of, or the other day we saw a picture in REU of a tree that was, I can't remember how many years old, maybe even 300 years old. Imagine what the roots would be like in a tree like that. Doesn't take 300 years to get roots of bitterness like that. Could take 3, could take 10. But it will potentially damage generation after generation after generation. And the effects of the bitterness could go more than 300 years. Is that possible? It's very possible. Because remember, bitterness doesn't just affect you. It affects everyone around you. And we are given the formula, let all bitterness, Ephesians 4:31, you're there? Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness, there it is, why don't you circle that, why don't you underline that, bitterness. And then he gives a whole bunch of other things. And I'm not saying they're not bad, but we got to get moving here. Notice, be put away. So you circled or underlined bitterness, draw a line to be put away. We must put it away. How do you put it away? You forgive. It's right there. Verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. He wants me to forgive like he forgave me. How is God's forgiveness given to us? It's given to us immediately. Right? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins next week. No. Forgive us our sins. Period. So when God forgives, there's no strings attached. That's how I'm to forgive. That's how you're to forgive. Secondly, God's forgiveness is permanent. Permanent. You know what? I'm not going to go into that. I don't think that would be appropriate. God's forgiveness is permanent. Here's another thought. Forgiveness is releasing my right to retaliate. I don't get mad, I get even. You know, I haven't seen that verse in the Bible yet. It's not in there. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith Not you, not me, the Lord. No, don't get mad and get even. Because the bitterness is still going to be there, even when you get mad and get even. It's permanent. Forgiveness is releasing my right to retaliate. Forgiveness is not calling a wrong right. Can you meditate on it? I know we're getting close. Don't worry about getting close to 11. It's okay. We got to keep on this. Forgiveness is not calling a wrong right. I don't want to forgive him because of what he did. I don't want to forgive her because of what she did. I don't want to, as if you're sinless. As if you've never done anything wrong. No, the point is we don't want to do that many times because we are so hurt by it that we think if we forgive them, it's just making that whole wrong right. And that's not true. Forgiveness relinquishes the justice to the one who can only handle it, and that's God. It's not my responsibility. It's in the notes, actually. Romans 12. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Letter D. Refocus on Christ. Here's what I wrote down in my notes. The act done to me is not what brings bitterness. This is to repeat something I think we alluded to earlier. The act done to me is not, and I underlined it, what brings bitterness. The response is what can bring bitterness or will bring bitterness. The final step to conquering bitterness, refocus on Christ. The book of Ruth really is all about redemption. All about redemption. Guess what happened when Naomi went back to Bethlehem, Judah? What was happening? Barley harvest. Barley harvest. Famine was over. Naomi's back. Ruth is with her. They chose the field. And you know how that story goes. Look at, if you have time to turn back quickly to chapter 2 of Ruth. The Bible says, and her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law whom she had wrought and said, this man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. I wonder if that's where they got that term, your bow. You know what I'm talking about? I wonder if that's where it came from. Does anybody know? Maybe let me know if you... I just thought of that. I think it's some strange things sometimes. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and the dead. Boy, things have changed in Naomi, haven't they? The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. They would end up getting married. This is not the story or the time for that today, but Naomi and Boaz, Ruth and Boaz would get married. They had a son. His name, Obed. Obed. Naomi would get to help with her grandson. And Ruth 4:16, the Bible says, and Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. With the Lord's help, Naomi had finally conquered her bitterness. Oh, by the way, through that line of Obed, if you trace it down, you'll go all the way to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, God does a mighty work. Even in the midst of his chastening, he took her husband and both of her sons. But in the midst of it all, God was doing a work. Look, friend, today there might be something that you're facing that it doesn't look like God's working at all. Don't allow bitterness to come in. If it's already there, follow the admonition of God's word from today. Dig down deep. You may need to talk to somebody. Would you help me with this? I could give you a few examples. I won't. For time. And I don't want to hurt anybody. There might be someone listening that may know exactly what I'm talking about. There's one example, and I'm not giving any details. There's one example that I've been thinking about all week. What's happening right now is as if you took a hand grenade and you dropped a hand grenade. If you know what a hand grenade does, you know, in battle, if you could think of that, it's like dropping a hand grenade in the middle of a family. And that hand grenade, if you picked it up, it would have the word bitterness on it. It was dropped. Let me just say, nothing good. Trouble. Trouble. Defilement. It's time to repent. It's time to repent. God will help you have victory.